months or every 3 months, because we get to certain ages where we need mammograms often. Brothers need their prostate exams more often. And so, look, we're not punks. We are champions. We are not chumps. So we're going to continue to look at what is going on and continue to pray for those who are going through that process right now. Sister Tracy is also praying for a closer walk with Jesus. And Alberta just joined church, and she is grateful for God. That's her Thanksgiving prayer request right there. She just joined specifically Paxson Revival Church. So we are praying on her behalf, and we are asking that God help her also, because she had broken 4 vertebrae in her back, had a really stiff neck, and was trying when I spoke with her, acupuncture therapy. So I hope that worked with her, because that can be really good. I've tried that too. But she's trying on a full serious level. And so I hope that that's even a better experience for her. So God, we thank you right now for each and every prayer request that we have thus far, as well as those who want to but still have not yet. We ask that you continue to bless us the way that you choose, according to your perfect will, because that's all we want, dear God, is your perfect will. We ask that for the amount of health that we have right now, that you allow it to increase according to what your plans are for us. Lord, for those of us who are suffering in any ways, whether it's health-wise, whether it is emotionally, whether it is psychologically, whatever it is, we ask that you give us clarity and show us, dear God, the reason for the things that we go through that don't feel so well. So right now, dear God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you hear our praise, you hear our prayer, and that you speak to every situation that we are in a way that we can be healed, that we can be helped, and that we can be whole. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And we all say amen. Hey, listen, amen. Thank you for listening to Staying in the Gap. We have one more hour, actually 58 more minutes. And so we're going to hear our comedy clips next. I'm going to set that up. It's usually around midnight. This is around midnight. But I want to go, you know, we're transparent here in our imperfections, being perfected by God. I'm going to set that up for you right now. In the meantime, we're going to continue this prayer through song, asking God to speak as we hear this song from Maurette Brown Clark, Name the Same. Stay with us right here on Praise 107.9.
Don't ignore my plea. Humbly I come to thee, and I am asking you for just one word. There is nowhere else that I can go.
It's just one word.
You're the only help I know. I need to hear you speak
to my situation,
my soul,
my circumstance.
Love.
My heart needs, my soul
it
needs,
doesn't long
my mind
to
needs
hear
to hear from you.
You speak
to my situation,
my soul. You speak. Your voice sounds like music to my ears. Said it soothes all my doubts and calms my fears. You said your sheep would know.
Your voice, your voice, your voice. mountains can be moved. When you say move mountain, move mountain. Conditions can be changed only if you.
Only if you hold me.
My situation,
my soul. Doesn't long
my mind
to
needs
hear
from you.
Speak
to my situation,
my soul,
problem,
my
circumstance, my heart needs, my soul
it
needs.
Doesn't long
my mind
to,
needs
hear
to hear from you.
You speak. That I'm going through.
Oh,
and I need one word, one word. Word that would speak to my heart, my mind, my soul.
My soul needs to hear from you.
There's sometimes when I have to cry.
Yes, I do.
But I don't know why.
Don't know why.
But I need you.
Need you, Jesus.
To why.
That is Speak, and that is Maurette Brown Clark. I've been looking for the name of the other person singing on there with her. Just want to acknowledge the gifts that we hear, and so I still don't see his name anywhere, even when I prepare the playlist. But God bless his ministry as well, because it blesses us. Amen. Look, you are listening to Standing in the Gap right here. We're here every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's right, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. just for you, to pray you to and through, and to praise with you the wonderful things that God is doing in your life, and to give God the praise and thanksgiving for it. And it is about that time right now, and you know it's ha ha ha, hallelujah. Ha ha ha, hallelujah, for truly there is healing through laughter. We're going to listen into an oldie but a goodie, not too old, but goodie, and listening to Sinbad. We're going to continue to talk about joy, and the thing we're going to talk about specifically tonight in dealing with joy, as we talked last night about joy, how it relates to purpose, how the purpose in our lives and getting more focused on the purpose can help us to unclutter the joy that is within us. We're going to talk about some of those things that clutter that joy. Two of those main criminals, and they can be smooth sometimes too and rough, are shame and guilt. We're going to talk about those when we come back from this. My microphone is still on purpose, so I can not only listen in but laugh in with you. However, if you call in, I would definitely mute it so that I can be attentive to you. For I don't know if I'm your girl, but I do know I am your servant, here to serve you. So let's listen in right now to Sinbad. The number to call in is 904-296-2251.
Work! Marriage is a career. It's not an adventure. You do more before five than most folks do all day. It's like the military. My wife and I, we're together about 6-7 years. We're married. We divorced about 10-11 years. Now we're back together, married 8 years.
Bless you.
Because we're both so damaged, we can't
go.
Be with nobody else. We had to come back home. Once you've been married to each other, you're trained. I'm trained. I ain't got time to train nobody else. She ain't got time to train nobody else. Everybody's jacked up. Go back to the one you had. I thought you was crazy. Everybody crazy. I know you're crazy. I can deal with your crazy. And all you men out here 55 years old trying to date some girl 20 like she like you. Are you out your mind? She wants your house. I don't see no 20-year-old girls with a broke-down 55-year-old man with no money. You don't see no girl 20. Oh, he's, look at the homeless dude, but he's cute. Hey, hey. She wants you to die. If you keep messing with her, you will. You want a woman that understands the signs of stroke.
Tell it.
That's what I'm looking for. A woman that got my medication in her purse. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. I thought you took it. I thought I did. You want a woman that's your nurse. See, if you go to dinner with a woman that's 55 years old and your little lip curl up, she know what to do. Hey, 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 hey. Jamal, look at me. Jamal, look at me. She'll get you to a hospital and save your life. But a girl 20, quit making faces at me. It's not funny anymore. Now you all stroked out for the rest of your life because your little cute girlfriend didn't know the signs of stroke. She come visit you in the hospital. I ain't know where the stroke was. I don't understand you. I had a stroke. Well, can I have your house now? Since you can't live there no more. Marriage is about growing old together. Marriage is about falling apart at the same time. That's what makes it special. You live long enough, the two of you become one good person. You become one. One can see, one can hear. One can walk, one can use their hands. You need each other. You have to go to movies together. One listens, one watches. You become a team. One got a good right hip, one got a good left hip, and you balance. They're so cute together. No, they'd fall down. They need one another. Woo! Because once you've been with somebody so long, you just understand stuff. You have the same vision. You share glasses. You got glasses all over the house. Wait, girl, let me go. I think they're behind the stove. I always had 20/20 vision all my life. I can't see now. You know how I found out? I'm in a movie theater, and I'm the only one that goes, focus it! And usually other people join in with you. They were like, you might want to move down toward the front, Sinbad. So now I got them progressive glasses so I can see far at the top, and I see close at the bottom. But they told me you can drive with it. No, you can't. You got to learn the sweet spot. You got to find the sweet spot. You know how many times I stop at a stop sign? Ah, it's way out there somewhere. What? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my bad. It's right here. My bad. I'm sorry. So I want to help you ladies with questions you have. Anything you might have. Some about a man that throws you off. Some about your man that drives you crazy. I'll fix it in 13 seconds. You don't need no long counseling. Any woman, somebody, man, make you mad. Anything, something. Shout it out. Shout it. Be romantic. What does that mean? You got to be specific with a man. I don't know what you're talking about. Be romantic. What? Fix the screen door? What? What do you want me to do? I want romance. I want romance. What? Hold your hand? What? Then say it. Look at your man. Hold my hand. Ah, I got it. Now you finally got what you're looking for. I want romance. Could you read those books? How to make love last forever. How to have romance forever. Too much work. Just say what you want. You got a man always forget your birthday? Forget that. Buy yourself a car. Look what you got me. He'll remember next year. I'll never forget your birthday again. That one cost me a lot of money. Okay, I'm gonna help. What confuses you most about women? I'll fix it. What confuses you most about women? And I'm gonna fix it for you. I'm gonna help you understand it. That they act like nothing. You're not married, are you? Because you're talking. She ain't here, is she? Why are you talking? You ain't learned nothing. You have learned nothing in your life. That's why you stay in trouble. You got to learn this. You know what she did? She did this. See, you don't know what that means. You're a single man. That means this man's in trouble. He don't even understand. She did that. They're going to be in the car. What? Why you always got to say something? He asked me something. That's a man that's sleeping downstairs tonight. Look at all these men. Look at these married men sitting here. They're trying to assume the position of getting in no trouble. That's your job as a man, to get in trouble. That's your job. Your problem is you're trying not to be in trouble. Accept the trouble and be sarcastic with it. Piss them off. That's half the fun of being married. You did that on purpose. Oh, yes, I did. That's foreplay. They need to have training for husbands, men training for husbands. How to be a husband, how to talk, how to survive a date. You got to practice, you got to look in the mirror. What? Oh, no. You got to learn to make those faces. Act like you're trying to speak, but don't let nothing come out. Don't say nothing, but act like you're trying to be involved. Men are so confused. I got a son that's 20 years old. My daughter's 23. My daughter says she's trying to find a good man. I said, learn to be by yourself for a second. Don't be crying. Look, she waved. You got a man. Why you raise your hand? She thinks this. You with a man. She said, that's right. Look what you just did. That's right. Be by yourself as you hold his hand. What was that about? That's right. Be by yourself. I'm talking about you. Now, if he had done that, that's right. Oh, really? You've been in the parking lot. What? What I say? Well, slow down.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. That's Sinbad. That's part of his set on... Okay. I'm back. On marriage. And he did mention in there, which you can get this from anywhere, any music source, iTunes, any Napster, Rhapsody, any other music sources, you can get it, even YouTube, you can get the entire thing, which you pay for, or you can get some of the clips, which are free. And so that is, he mentioned in there, thank you, Lord, he mentioned in there that they should have a class for men, which means they should have a class for women, too, as far as marriage. And we do. It's called premarital counseling or marriage groups that you have, either in the community or through churches. And so I don't marry anyone. I don't become the officiant for the wedding unless and until we do premarital counseling, the appropriate amount of sessions before the wedding, because I have to sign on that covenant. It's a covenant also, and I want, you know, to be accountable to God. So I did everything on my part as the one representing bringing this together that God wanted me to do. And two of the things that really do cause people conflict are what we're talking about tonight. It's the fact that we deal with shame and guilt, or we allow shame and guilt to deal with us in ways that causes conflicts within our daily lives as we're trying to do our part on this thing called salvation, as God definitely does God's part. Amen. So as we talk about that tonight, we're going to transition right now. I just want to soak you some as we talk about joy. This new series on the joy is within the journey. As we talk about this joyous journey, I know you go through things. I go through things. We still all have better days than not. And even when we're in some of those seasons where it seems dark and gloomy and there's a drought within our hearts, within our minds, within our associations, even concerning family, friends, even church members or community, neighborhood, that we seem like we're alone, even when we're with other people. There are times when God will require you to feel that and to have that space within yourself to focus more on God as God is preparing you for what's next, as God simultaneously sometimes restores you from what you just came through. That makes sense? Like you go through something that's good or bad, God restores you. You're like, you don't need to be restored from something good. Yes, you do, because things that happen through you and to you that are good took from you as well. So God will restore you. You know, just like you go on a vacation, you have to come back and recover from vacation to get back, you know, in the lieu of things, in the routine of things. The same with life in a very bigger place is that God will restore you and then transition you to that thing that is either something better or something that's going to challenge you in some ways as well. So I want us to do just some soaking right now with the word of God, which means you will hear these words of encouragement and love and reminders through the scriptures. And I'm allowing and asking God to use this little fragile vessel right here for His own glory. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that's from Romans 12:12. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. When anxiety was great within me, God's consolation brought me joy. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's from Habakkuk 3:17-18. And you can just contemporaryize it for yourself. And that, no, this psalm, I mean, this writer said that there is no fig trees that have buds on them, which means for some of us, there are some things in my life that are not blooming the way I thought they would be. There are no grapes on my vines. There are no crops in the fields. There's nothing coming in. There's no producing, no production, no product of any kind. There's no greater health coming to me. There's no greater wealth coming to me. There's no greater amount of friend or loved ones or that one special one coming to me. Yet still, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Why? Just because God is worthy. Just because what I do have that is good, God gave it to me. And the things that I seek that are in God's will, I will get those too in due time. Which means Kairos, God's time, not Chronos, my time, right? So as we talk about joy, there are two things that get in the way, some at least two of which tonight we're focusing on joy as it relates to shame and guilt. Excuse me. Throughout our lives, we wrestle along with so much of these two topics to try to understand the phenomenon of shame and guilt. You know, what are they? How do they compare and contrast? How do they manifest in outward behaviors or internal emotions? And what can be done to be healed and have a healthy understanding of the practical uses of shame and guilt instead of allowing them to be used to oppress myself or for you to be oppressed by them within our communities and churches and locally and internationally. I remember learning from several authors when I was reading about it, how shame and guilt had not been brought to the forefront of psychological, emotional, spiritual, and mental studies until recently due to the difficulty researchers found when trying to measure it, trying to understand the differences and the similarities and the effects. Two authors that I remember, Tangney and Deering, described shame as an extremely painful and ugly feeling that has a negative impact on your interpersonal behavior. I'm going to say that again. Tangney and Deering said that, first of all, that this shame that a lot of us have heard about, you heard somebody say, shame on you. I remember even just last night and last weekend as well, tried to remind you when we hear that, that's actually what God does not want. So I definitely shouldn't be saying that to someone, shame on you. God doesn't want you to have shame on you. Shame does come and is created at times through our circumstances and ourselves and other people projecting it to us when we actually do some things that are not of God, or it is presumed that we've done some things not of God. But shame is not for me to want for somebody, nor to put it on somebody. So Tangney and Deering said that, first of all, it's an extremely painful and ugly feeling that has a negative impact on your interpersonal behavior. Shame-prone individuals appear relatively more likely to blame others as well as themselves for negative events. We're more prone to a seething, bitter, resentful kind of anger and hostility, and less able to empathize with others in general. Shame, therefore, is described as more of a private, internal negative feeling that one might be experiencing, that you may have inside of you, I may have inside of me, and sometimes I don't even realize it, and other people who are around me don't realize it. They just see the byproduct of it, right? So, secondly, we know that in contrast, it's viewed as guilt. Shame is like the flip side of guilt. Guilt typically is known to be a less painful and devastating experience than shame, because in guilt, our primary concern is with a particular behavior, somewhat apart from the self. Let me put it this way. Feelings of guilt can be painful nonetheless, but guilt involves a sense of tension, that we are remorseful. We are feeling regret over this bad thing. You know, shame is, we're not proud of what we did, but we don't really care. Guilt is, not only am I not proud about what I did, but I do care about the person I hurt, and primarily the fact that I hurt God in doing something that is against God's will. You got me, right? So people in the midst of a guilt experience often report a nagging focus or preoccupation with transgression. We think over and over, we replay it over and over, that thing we did, that night we hit the sheets with that person, that time we hit the pipe, that time we got off the wagon and went drinking again, or that time that we lied to this pastor because we just didn't want to be bothered with them, that time that we just went out and did whatever we wanted to do, even though we know we had a spouse back at the house and kids waiting on us, that time where we did things without paperwork to get things that we really didn't qualify. And so guilt is that behavioral experience or outlook on self based on how we see ourselves, and then we feel bad about ourselves. We judge ourselves overly so, and we even misjudge ourselves as if to say we're no longer worthy of God's love because we're not perfect. I want to remind you tonight, and I hope it sticks with you before we end this broadcast, that no matter what amount of shame that you and I have, no matter what amount of guilt that we have, God has given us what we need to dismiss it, to destroy it, and to disconnect from it, to be fully delivered. Because God is a person of restoration, not condemnation. God is a power of forgiving, not continually reminding us of our wrongdoings. God is the one who loves us, remember, unconditionally. So no matter what condition I'm in, I caused or I did or accepted from somebody else in sinning with them, God still loves me, and loves me enough to want to help me to get back right. So stay with us right here on Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. We're going to listen to Anthony Evans right now, that reminds us that God is the one who restores us. In Jesus' name, amen. The number to call in live is 904-296-2251. The number to call in later when you hear it as a rebroadcast is 904-624-9868.
You think I'm all right, There's a smile on my face. Everything's okay. But on the inside, there's a different story. I've stumbled down this road, and I've got so far to go. I'm a broken man, on my knees again, longing for a touch from you. I need your hand to restore me. I need your mercy. Take me to the place I used to be. Use all the pain and the hurt to do a greater work. Restore me. I wore my mask, running away from my past, hiding all my scars, thinking I'd gone too far. But he knew my pain, and he loved me just the same. He promised I'd be free if I fell on my knees and cried, restore me. I need your mercy. Oh, take me to the place I used to be.
For that. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight. Still time for you to get in your prayer requests and or praise reports. That's why we are here, just for you. I want you to hear this scripture, okay? And it goes with what we're talking about tonight. Joy as it relates to shame and guilt. That this comes from from 2 Corinthians 5. And the New King James Version says it this way: for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he, meaning Christ, of course, died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, and I'm adding she, it's inclusive, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So let's simplify that even more from Eugene Peterson's The Message, right? The Message says that because of this decision, meaning that Christ died for us and we no longer see each other as the flesh, but more of as the spirit. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Hallelujah. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And since then, God has also given us the task, the beautiful, powerful, and at times tough task of sharing this same information. And we share that with you right now as we continue with this word. We open the doors of the kingdom, which means we are actually letting you know that Jesus Christ opened those doors a long time ago for you. So you have this opportunity even now to accept this invitation of salvation, which simply means, will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can you do it through this broadcast? Absolutely. Can you do it when you're out and about and you feel the Spirit of God working in and tugging at your heart? Yes, you can. All you have to do is confess that you believe in Jesus Christ, accept the power of the Holy Spirit that will be activated within you to help you walk this joyous journey, and hopefully find your way to a place where you can worship and learn even more about God. And if you need help in finding that place, please give me a call so that I can help you. No matter where you are, we are here for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we get back to this word and talking about that, so remember, behold, all our new creations. God doesn't want us to be caught up, entangled, never again in shame or guilt. You know, shame and guilt are connected, and we are pierced with shame based on guilt brought on by immoral actions. For example, a little girl stole candy from a store, and since she stole it, she has been acting suspicious or nervous and sad because she really likes the kind store owner, right? She's remorseful because she knows that it was the wrong thing to have done. So when the guilt is released by simply overshadowing it with excuses or by ignoring it or by dissipating it as time passes, the guilt, which feels like an arrow sometimes, may cease to break off. So let me put it this way so I can simplify for you. Sometimes guilt and shame carry itself like an arrow and a bow, okay? That's how they work together. And that even goes with the Word of God, where we see in different places, especially the Psalms, that we, with the help of God, will be able to squelch and to block those fiery darts, those spears that come towards us. Guilt and shame are like that. When it comes to, you know, Christian perspective, shame and guilt are analogous to a bow and arrow. Shame and guilt are connected. Shame is the internal feeling. Guilt is the external action. In other words, sometimes we are pierced with shame based on guilt brought on by things that we did that we shouldn't have done. Okay? So at times when we feel shame for something, many of us realize or don't realize that we walk around with a piece of shame and or guilt still within us. Shame is like the arrow that shoots in the little triangle, the little triangle part at the end, and shoots that into you is like the bow. Actually, I'm sorry. Shame is like the bow. Guilt is like the arrow, and they're connected. You get the picture? So when this comes at you based on something that has happened that you've done or participated or initiated, shame being the bow, guilt being the arrow, direct towards, let's say, your heart and or your spirit. And then as time goes by, the shame of it may break off, but the guilt, that arrow, is still within you, and your actions internally start to project externally. And this shows you, based on, if it's not you, others who may be around you, as to why they're so easily angered, why it seems like their buttons, you know, those connotations we use, their buttons are so easily pushed. It's because there's so much already in there. I know when God sends me to people, you too, you know, and God sends you to people sometimes, or you say something, just innocently say something about how we could or should be doing a certain thing better by God. This is your first and only time saying that, and someone will just immediately go off on you like, oh, that's it. I can't take it anymore. You said too much. You're thinking, I only said one thing. Why are you losing it? It's because God has been messing with that person. Sometimes it's because God has been messing with that person on that same subject. God has been dealing with that person concerning that same circumstance. And God now still uses you as that little twig that broke the camel's back, or push that button that was already pushed and now they feel it's to the limit. But that's God's love also. God doesn't do that so that we can jump up and be angry, so that we can project rage at others. God does it to help us to see that there are some things, as I started this and said, that we don't claim, that claim us. And if we don't look at them and deal with them, we will continue to be dealt with, and sometimes feeling overcome by the negative natures within us, instead of allowing the joy to be released that's already in us as a part of God's gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Look, I want you to be completely free of shame and or guilt. So if you have any of that in you, near you, or you view any of that within people whom you love, I want you to give me a call here so we can get this stuff out tonight, and that you can rest better, that you can be a blessing better, and that you can make it through any and all of the tests that God has for you even better, and as well as for the people of whom you pray. I want you to trust the ministry that God has within this place, as well as the anointing, to be that mediator, that interceder, to be used by Christ to help you to get rid of shame, to help you to get rid of guilt, so that you can have all the room within you that is needed for the joy and the fullness of joy there truly is in the presence and the power of Christ. Amen. Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. Oh yeah, I'm going to give you the number again first. It's 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. And later, that number is 904-624-9868.
Remember to gather me, that I may grow in peace. Remember to keep me lifted, that I may go in spirit. Keep my name on your lips, in your prayer remember this, and I need you. Cover me, fellas, can you help me?
Cause you're about to come. yes. I need
you.
Cover me. And remember to pray for me.
Continue to pray for me.
Cause I might be going through.
That I might go in peace.
And I might not know what to do.
Continue to keep me lifted.
For the effectual fervent prayer.
That I might go in peace.
Keep my
face on your mind.
The next time you go.
When you go.
Cover Me by 2103. I am laughing because God is so good. God gives me the giggles at times, and I'm just blessing the Lord and just glad to be here with you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us this time to be together and for just loving on us and allowing love to spill through us to others. We thank you right now for those who accept you as Jesus Christ. And we continually ask that you get all the glory for it. We ask, God, that for those who are seeking a place to walk out their faith with you, that you be the one to ultimately direct us, show us where we should go, that place, that edifice that is filled with your power, your presence, with the right people, more importantly, righteous people who truly love you and are filled with integrity and honesty, who truly have an agenda to be about your kingdom. Help us to be guided to the right places that we can become a part, active part of your ministries of worship and praise, that we may be equipped to evangelize about who you are, to be used by you to save others. For we know it's not us who saves people, but it's you through us. And for that, we thank you for the power of your gospel. We ask for all of those, dear God, who are continuing to help out in any way tomorrow or later today, and as far as worship, whether it's the choir, musicians, those who share your faith, those who do discipleship, those who are the first representations of you through parking ministry or answering the phone. For those, dear God, who are preaching, teaching your word and whatever Christian education, for those who are working from the nursery all the way to the teens, the adults, the seasoned citizens, for those who are specifically working with women and men and teenagers who are definitely, dear God, hungry and becoming hungrier for your word. For those, dear God, who are the spouses, the husbands and wives of those who have to serve and sacrifice some of their time with family to be used by you to bless the families of others. We just ask right now for a special, fresh anointing, that two-part anointing to be whom you called us to be and to do what you called us to do. What you called us to do, nothing more than what you called us to do, and nothing less than that either, God. We ask that you continue to direct us as the under-shepherds to you, the ultimate shepherd of us all. Continue to direct us primarily to focus on our relationship with you first. Continually allow and show us how to work on the health of our relationships with our families second, and then to be an extension of you within the ministries where you have called us, no matter where they are within our lives. Help us to do ministry in healthy ways, dear God, that please you and truly give you the credit that you deserve and make impact within your kingdom. Help us to be more focused on being used to impact and not just to impress. Help us to be used powerfully to educate and not just entertain. And help us to be used by you sincerely, dear God, to be the ones who make a difference and not just join the crowd. We love you, God, and in Jesus' name, we bless your name, for truly serving you gives us the ultimate blessing, for loving you, serving you, and being at your feet and your feet alone, there truly is no higher calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, I seek your face. Seek your face. Down at your feet, I see your face, your face. There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne.
Jonathan Butler, there's no higher calling That's from his worship project CD, if you want to hear that again for yourselves. And this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. It's almost time for us to close out, so I just want to close out this word with you and for you. First of all, I just want to thank you for listening in and sharing some time, whatever it is, with us. We do appreciate it. For those who shared your prayer requests and praise reports, we are thanking you for that and know that we will continue to pray on your behalf. I want you to know that many of us still walk around with shame and with guilt and the things that we can do, practically speaking, to get rid of those things is to allow God more room within us. Amen. To allow the grace of God to come in and be the very tool that can shovel up and out all shame and guilt, to realize that we really are not perfect. That doesn't mean that we have to condone and validate ourselves when we do wrong and take advantage of God's forgiving spirit, but that does mean in a positive, healthy way, we can take the advantage of God's forgiving spirit and truly seek God with an earnest heart, asking for forgiveness of the things that we've done that we shouldn't have, as well as for the things that we should have done that were good that we did not do. We can allow God's grace, which is God's unmerited favor, to give us that time to seek forgiveness and time to receive it. Grace is that thing that also gives us opportunity to forgive others and show them how to forgive themselves of past hurts and where they experience shame and guilt. It is to be a true disciple, to teach people how to be empowered by God, and the key to unlocking some chains of shame and the manacles of guilt is grace that can help truly with the joy that needs to flourish and to live and be reactivated in some of us. I want you to consider churches that you attend, I attend, we attend, or have attended. And have you noticed any ways that shame and guilt are used to hold congregations and members and or visitors hostage? As I contemplate the different aspects of a worship experience, I ask myself at times with the Holy Spirit's nudging, are we just having church or are we experiencing a true tabernacle with God? The praise and worship songs tell me that I am a friend of God. By Israel Houghton and New Breed, the hymn of praise reminds me that great is thy faithfulness. Perhaps it's being brought up within the preaching moments. I have to pay attention to what's being preached and taught about the Word of God. Is it the story of the woman caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, who forgives her instead of allowing the men to stone her out of judgment based on her gender? For the man was never brought forward in that situation. She didn't do it alone. But hopefully it is preached from a point of grace when Jesus forgives her and tells her to go and sin no more. Is the story of the prodigal son from Luke 15 one of the shame and guilt examples, when the son realizes he has squandered his father's money and lived wastefully? Hopefully it's taught more about the grace extended to him when he humbly repents and returns home and is greeted with open arms by his father with no judgment, telling someone, telling you and telling me that God will not condemn us because of our sins, because of shame, because of guilt, or the past and extending things that we have done before. But God will have open arms to us if we look to God with grace. Remind yourself that God loves you, that God allowed God's Son to die for you, and that God wants you to have the gift of joy within you on this journey, no matter what ups and downs, valleys and mountains we go through. So in Jesus' name, you stay blessed, you be blessed, and you continue to allow God to be the primary parent to you, okay? I want you to hear this song as we go out. It's Whitney Houston as she sings about joy. God bless her soul as well. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. Please take a moment to encourage someone else. And you stay safe and blessed. Amen. And good night. Thank you.
broken heart, all torn apart. All I had to give was an empty hope and promises, but in return, you gave me joy that could never be told. And in return, he gave me love that is more precious than any gold. So whatever you have to give, you don't have to be ashamed. Just come as you are and present my Jesus' name, for in a return of a torrent life, he'll give you life.